here tonight into the Capitol. If we run out of seats, let me know. There's an overflow room in, where is it?
First floor gallery east and west.
Just in case we run out of room. I want to thank everybody that's been coming in these last months and the last evenings. Many of you have been here almost every night, and you now have your Monday nights and Wednesday nights free. Please enjoy them, and we will try not to call you back. Tonight, we're going to do a work session on Senate Bill 27. I will open a work session on Senate Bill 27 for the Special Senate Committee on Health Care Reform. I would ask Governor John Kitzhaber to please come and join us. We'll be looking at Senate Bill 27, the Dash 2s. We have more copies coming out right now. We made about 50 copies. We're making some more. Governor Kitzhaber, welcome. It's always good to see you.
Thank you, co-chairs, members of the committee, Madam Vice Chair. For the record, my name is John Kitzhaber. I reside in Portland, Oregon, and I'm here this evening representing the Archimedes Movement. First, I want to thank the committee and the leadership for giving us this opportunity to have a work session on Senate Bill 27. The members of the Archimedes Movement look forward to working with you as this bill and Senate Bill 329 move through the legislative process. With your permission, I would like to do two things this evening. First, walk you through the amendments to Senate Bill 27, and then enter two documents into the record, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. The Dash 2 amendments were prepared in response to some legitimate concerns raised by a number of groups, predominantly the AARP, that was concerned about the original language in Senate Bill 27, which could have allowed the state to essentially administer Medicare funds. And secondly, some issues were raised by advocates for Oregonians with disabilities. We've tried to address those in the amendments as well, and also some input from the Oregon Nursing Association. To explain the bill as amended, I'd like to break it into two parts, the structure and the process. The structure is actually very similar to the structure in Senate Bill 329. Three entities are involved. One is an Oregon Better Health Trust Fund, which is a vehicle in which to pool the public resources currently being spent on health care here in the state of Oregon. A second is an Oregon Better Health Design Board, which is purpose is to develop a blueprint for national reform. It would have 11 members appointed by the governor and confirmed by the Senate, and all members would serve concurrent terms expiring July 1st, 2009. So essentially this is a process to design a proposal for national health care reform, and that process would be completed within the course of the upcoming biennium. The responsibilities of the Better Health Design Board include developing a plan to ensure that all Oregonians have access to treatment for a defined set of health conditions, to offer a proposal to implement the plan for consideration by the United States Congress as the basis for national health care reform, to oversee an actuarial process to define the set of essential health conditions, to conduct public hearings to determine the adequacy of that benefit, and finally to establish six subcommittees. These subcommittees, the work of these subcommittees, essentially form the heart of the benefit and system design process. The first subcommittee would be charged with developing options to promote healthy behaviors through strategies that focus both on individual choices and environmental influences. It's a recognition that if we can't develop ways to keep people out of the healthcare system on the front end, it's going to be very, very difficult to manage costs in the long term. The second subcommittee would be to develop options for a mechanism to transfer the value of the public subsidy of employer-sponsored coverage through state and federal tax expenditures into the Oregon Better Health Trust Fund. The members of that committee would include employers and employees of both large and small businesses, the self-insured employers, self-employed individuals, and employees that work for Taft-Hartley Trust Funds. The third subcommittee would make recommendations on the most efficient and effective delivery system models producing quality outcomes for consideration during the actuarial process, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. The fourth subcommittee would make recommendations on how best to maximize the integration of health services with community-based long-term care services to avoid disruption in care. As you know, Mr. Chair, Oregon has been a leader in sort of demedicalizing long-term care, and we want to make sure that we don't remedicalize it in the process of defining a new healthcare system. The fifth subcommittee would develop options to finance and implement health information technology services and infrastructure that would be required for a new system, and the fourth would make recommendations concerning how to address the issue of medical liability. The third entity would be the existing Oregon Health Services Commission that would establish priorities from among health conditions including physical, dental, vision, mental health, and chemical dependency services in 10 specific categories which are listed in your amendments. The commission would be required to establish priorities among categories and within each category based on the, from the most important to the least important, based on the comparative health benefit of the treating that condition for the health of the overall population. That's essentially the structure, and I believe that that structure is very easily adapted to the structure that you are developing in Senate Bill 329. I'll make a couple of closing comments on that. The process involved here, I'll also break that into two parts. The first is the process of how we actually define a set of essential health conditions. As you know, Mr. Chair, one of the biggest obstacles in the healthcare debate is determining what the floor is or what level of basic care is. And this attempts to do that. And then the second element is actually producing a new system design for consideration by Congress. So in terms of defining the set of essential health conditions, this prioritized list would be given to an independent actuarial firm to determine the cost of providing each element on the list, that is, the treatment of each condition on the list. And the Oregon Better Health Design Board would oversee that actuarial process, and with the input of involved individuals, it would develop some actuarial assumptions that would be used in that actuarial process. And there are a number of those I want to bring to your attention because I think they get to the heart of our efforts to manage costs in a new system. First, that one of the assumptions would ensure that providers receive fair and reasonable payments for treating the covered set of essential health conditions. Second, that payments to providers would include a payment for other than face-to-face encounters with the providers themselves, which recognizes the increasing role of telephone consultations and use of online consultations as a part of extending the reach of healthcare providers. Fourth, payment levels to providers must take into account the need to create incentives to ensure adequate workforce capacity to meet the requirements of the most efficient and effective delivery system models producing quality outcomes. This is a recognition that if we reorganize our system to be more effective and efficient, we may need a different mix of providers. Today, for example, we have a shortage of many nursing specialties, of primary care providers, and without creating the financial incentives, it's going to be difficult to have the adequate capacity to actually shift to a new and more efficient system. And fifth, and I think a particular significance is the actuarial assumptions concerning outcomes. The actuarial assumptions concerning utilization of resources has to be based on the most efficient and effective delivery models producing quality outcomes. And I want to take a moment to explain that because I think that's really a key. Senator Bates, as you know, there's a tremendous variation from state to state, from health system to health system, in terms of the resources utilized to treat exactly the same medical conditions. So in some places, for example, when you're treating, let's say, diabetes, the resources utilized in terms of days in the hospital, numbers of specialty consultations, number of lab tests or x-rays ordered, varies by 300 or 400% with no difference in outcomes. And in fact, places that have higher utilization of resources like Los Angeles often have poor health outcomes. So the assumption here is that we're going to look, and the subcommittee that is created for this purpose that I mentioned earlier would seek out those models that have the most effective use of resources but consistently provide quality outcomes and base the actuarial assumptions on utilization on that. The idea is that we create a benchmark or a target towards which we want to shift the organization of the system over time, and that would be calculated into the assumptions of the actuarial process. And the last assumption is that there has to be value-based cost sharing for consumers. And what that means, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, is that instead of using co-payments to simply shift cost to individuals, we try to use them to actually incent individual consumer behavior. So if there are services on the list or conditions on the list for which there's very little evidence to support the relationship between the treatment and the outcome, there may be a significantly higher copay required for those services, whereas services that are higher on the list or have robust medical evidence to support their outcome, there may be little or no copayment involved. The essential set of health conditions would be determined very much like the benefit package in the existing Oregon Health Plan, where the resources available would be divided by the eligible population, in this case the state of Oregon, and that would produce a capitation rate which would be applied to the list to produce the benefit. Now, the second element in the process is the actual developing of a blueprint for national reform. Within 60 days of the passage of Senate Bill 27, the Health Services Commission would begin this benefit design process, establishing the priorities and determining the cost of treating a defined set of essential health conditions. And the Oregon Better Health Design Board would establish the six subcommittees that would begin to carry out their charges. For the purposes of this benefit design process, the Oregon Better Health Design Board will assume that the resources in the fund are equal to the value of the dollars we're currently spending on Medicare, Medicaid, and the subsidy for both the state and federal tax expenditures. So no changes in Medicare, Medicaid, or federal tax code are involved here. We're making an assumption that we have that value in order to calculate what the benefit might look like given the use of the public resources that we're currently spending on health care here in the state of Oregon. Then, based on the recommendations of these six subcommittees, the Oregon Better Health Design Board would develop a plan to implement the provisions of the Oregon Better Health Act for consideration by the United States Congress as the basis for national health care reform. In developing the plan, the board would be required to conduct public hearings and to solicit testimony from a broad range of Oregonians and stakeholder groups. The board would develop a transition plan that would detail the resources and the time frames necessary to make an orderly transition from our current system to a more equitable and sustainable system that ensures access to all of our citizens. Second, it would be required to conduct public hearings on the completed plan itself. It would also include recommendations for the appointment of a permanent board, which would detail the structure, membership, and responsibilities of that permanent board. It would finalize the plan based on this information and present that to the governor for approval. The governor would then turn this into a legislative proposal and submit it to the next regular or special legislative session following approval as a legislative proposal. The proposal would require that the request of the Oregon Congressional delegation that this proposal be introduced as federal legislation as the basis for national health care reform, and second, request federal authority to implement portions of the plan as pilot projects. So in essence, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 27, as amended, creates a benefit and system design process over the next 2 years that would produce a piece of legislation for consideration by the next legislative session that could be then used as the basis for national health care reform.
Questions?
The only comment I'd make is it sounds a lot like 329 and a lot of his issues.
There you go.
Great minds think alike. A lot of cross-pollination. I believe you have a couple more documents you wanted to present.
Yes, Mr. Chair, if I might, I'd like to enter two documents into the record. One, I believe you've already seen. It is a letter to Senators Bates and Westland from the Governor's Commission on Senior Services recommending that the consideration of the concepts in Senate Bill 27 continued during this legislative process, which appears to be at least the intent of the work session tonight. And secondly, Mr. Chair, I'd like to read into the record portions of a letter that I sent to Mr. Bill Novelli on the 24th of this month. I believe he received it last Tuesday. I have not yet received a response. Mr. Novelli, as you know, is the CEO of the National AARP, an individual with whom I've been acquainted for a number of years and for whom I have great respect. This is a letter I sent to him regarding the amendments that we've made to Senate Bill 27. We both know that a state cannot make any changes to the Medicare program or to the federal tax code for that matter, and there is nothing in the amended bill that suggests otherwise. What a state can do, however, is to engage people in a discussion of the challenges facing our health care system in order to help inform federal decision makers, which, if you read the amendments, is exactly what Senate Bill 27 seeks to do. It sets up a process through which Oregonians can seek consensus on a shared vision for what their health care system might look like if we were not constrained by its current complexity and by the seemingly intractable stakeholder politics of the status quo. That vision would be refined through public hearings and submitted to the Oregon Legislative Assembly for consideration. If the legislature finds merit in some or all of the ideas developed, it would then seek support from the Oregon congressional delegation to introduce federal legislation that would reflect those concepts. What the AARP has been concerned about here is simply a process, an opportunity for Oregonians to engage and to discuss the future of their own health care system, including what changes might be called for to improve and sustain the Medicare program. The Archimedes movement does not disagree with the fact that Medicare reform and policy development should take place at the national level. Indeed, that is the only place it can occur. But surely you would agree that the citizens of Oregon have a legitimate role in that process, that it is entirely appropriate for Oregonians to recommend to their own congressional delegation how they would like to see the problems facing their health care system addressed, that our senators and representatives should give at least the same weight to the views of their constituents as to the views of Washington, D.C.-based interest groups. Our proposal does not request that the state be given access to Medicare dollars. It does not request any changes to the federal tax code, or indeed to either Medicare or to the Medicaid program. What it does do is set up a benefit and system design process to help answer a host of questions, which will be extremely helpful, if not essential, for any federal reform effort to be politically viable. It is in no one's interest to compromise the medical services currently available to those on Medicare, any more than it is to compromise the medical services currently available to those on Medicaid or those covered through the workplace. But it is in everyone's interest to create a public process through which we can seek to ask if we can do better, if those services can be provided more effectively and efficiently without compromising quality, if they can be integrated in a way which reduces cost and improves outcomes, if there are additional services currently not available which might improve both health and quality of life, if we can do a better job of keeping people out of the healthcare system in the first place. We cannot change, nor are we seeking to change, Medicare at the state level. What we can do is to engage people in the kind of open, honest discussion of the future of our healthcare system, which is increasingly difficult to do inside the Beltway. Oregon has a long history of exactly this kind of public engagement. We have a long tradition of coming together as a community to discuss important questions which affect us all, even if they do not have clear-cut, easy answers. I am asking you to join us in this process rather than to undermine it. If in the end you believe that the recommendations which eventually emerge in any way jeopardize those on Medicare, you will have the same opportunity to oppose them as you have today. That, to me, would be a far more appropriate time to use the political power of your organization than to simply try to prevent Oregonians from engaging in a legitimate discussion of their future health and economic security. We are working to protect the health security of all Oregonians, including those on Medicare, through a process in which all Oregonians can take part in designing a new healthcare system which meets their needs today and in the future. Oregonians have a remarkable record of innovation concerning health care and care for our senior citizens, as evidenced by both the enactment of the Oregon Health Plan and by our strong commitment to provide independence for seniors through in-home and community-based care. We want you at the table with us as we move forward. The results of our process will be greatly enhanced if they reflect the value of your participation. Your organization has much to offer. What we in the Archimedes movement have to offer is commitment, a trust in the wisdom of the people of this state, and the belief that together we can do better. I would be happy to discuss this with you further on the phone or personally, and I would like to invite you to visit Oregon so you can learn firsthand about the Archimedes movement, what we are trying to accomplish, and how our objectives are indeed aligned with those of your organization. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Governor. Do you have anything else to offer tonight?
Again, my appreciation on behalf of the members of this effort to at least to have this opportunity for a work session and your consideration of that. Thank you.
Any questions for Governor Kitzhaber? Thank you. Don't leave. Thank you very much for bringing this forward to us. Senator Westland.
Mr. Chair, I move to dash two amendments into Senate Bill 27.
I hear a motion to move the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 27. Any discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Miles Anderson. Excuse. Senator Morissette.
Aye.
Senator Morse.
Aye.
Senator Cruz. Excuse. Vice Chair Winters.
Aye.
Senator Westland.
Aye.
Chair Bates.
Aye. The motion passes. I will now entertain a motion for Senate Bill 27.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 27, excuse me, as amended, the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Any discussion? Hearing none, I hear motion to move Senate Bill 27 as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Those of the opinion Senate Bill 27 should be reported to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference will vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Marcet?
Aye.
Senator Cruz? Senator Montanerson? Senator Warren?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Winters?
Aye.
Co-Chair Westland?
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. Thank you again for appearing tonight. I know it's been a short session for a change. You're probably all shocked that we're done in half an hour here. Stunned. We are.
No. So everyone can get home for a change. But part of it's by way of thank you for all those that have so dutifully attended these meetings night in and night out. I know it's a late hour and an inconvenient time and a critically important issue. So first of all, I want to thank all those that have been so dutiful and participatory in their attendance. And then also, Mr. Chair, I'd like to thank the committee members. There's been a great deal of hard work and effort put into the production of this committee, and while there was just a very short work session, which we were happy to do on 27, there was a great deal of conversation throughout this entire legislative session to date, and I suspect there will be in the time remaining. So I want to thank all the committee members for their hard work, and while I know they are not able to attend tonight, this is the first time I don't think we've had one of the House members in attendance, and so I think it needs to be noted as a thank you for the good hard work and contribution that our fellow House members have made to this committee.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Any other statements?
No, only just to say thank you for all of your hard work, and you got it done in a short period of time because the lady is now here tonight.
Okay. And I certainly can't add anything to what the good Senator Westland said. We have sent two, I believe, really excellent pieces of work down to Ways and Means, which are both of them are a roadmap to changing health care in this state and potentially the entire nation. And it's, from my point of view, probably the biggest issue facing Americans right now. It polls that way. People are very concerned about health care, its maintenance, its ability for individuals to access it, and the costs involved. So I thank you all for your hard work. I know many of you have been on this trail for a couple of years with us. Good Governor Kitzhaber and I have been on that trail for 20 years, off and on together. And it's a great evening to get this all done. And I think with that, I will actually close this down.
Yes.
Thank you. We are adjourned.